selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they mass up from rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lime, to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass up from rain, they burn the kids, no more leaves, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the internet. It is sometime in May today. I don't know which day it is, nor do I care. It was sunny and it wasn't warm, but it was reasonable. I see Alex Jones is taking a bit of a beating in here. And, not Ben Fulford. I thought he was a truth teller with Alex Jones. Oops. It's just some of the stuff going through the chat, which I always appreciate. I make an announcement right now. On Thursday night, I'm going to have some folks on the show who are farmers. And we're going to talk about farming. And you know, the need for some real food in our systems. Now, these folks are also raw milk farmers. Michael Schmidt, the raw milk farmer, has been beat on for 23 years. He has a two-day trial in Newmarket, Ontario on the 29th and 30th, I believe it is, of May. An injunction, City of York, City of York and another region, and the government, and everybody else is trying to pull an injunction on Michael so they can't move his milk, not his milk, those who own the farm now. He milks the cows up at the farm, and they deliver it down to the owners of the farm. In Peel and York region, one of the two. And so they've been after him 23 years, and they're trying to bring the hammer down. And so, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the importance of food and how it is that this government can tell you that you can't eat food. But it all goes back to control, doesn't it? It's all about control. And as Kissinger said, you know, control the food, control the people. And they've done the same thing in the weed business now here in Canada. The government is taking control of it, legalize it. So their politician friends and their investor friends or banker friends or lawyer friends will all be making a fair, healthy dollar off the taxes that these idiots are going to pay to buy weed. Now, I don't know who the hell is going to buy this weed. There's enough growers in this country now. I don't understand where the government thinks it's going to find a market for this. But you can be guaranteed that anybody that wasn't being bothered before, just like the old stills up in the hills, they're going to come down on them like a ton of frickin' bricks because, of course, like Rockefeller, control everything, right? And all you got to do is look at what happened to the oil industry with the Rockefeller gang. And this is the same thing that's about to happen to weed. It's the same thing that happened to milk. You can't get it because they took control of it. And so, you know, we're going to talk about this stuff Thursday night. Paul Noble, who will be on, is a farmer. And I mean, you can go to YouTube and just put in Paul Noble raw milk, and you'll probably pull up his video. And he's just such a nice guy. And he does an interview in his barn and discusses an awful lot of stuff. The farm he bought now is, I think he's been 13 years and figures that the land has basically finally healed itself from the abuse it took from the agriculture or the agribusiness, which poisoned the soil. And, you know, he had another farm, I think he was telling me, in the 70s, and it only took 5 years for him to cleanse the soil. But, you know, I said, well, okay, because they only started really spraying in the 60s. So if you got the farm in the 70s, 5 years makes sense. But, you know, from then till when you got this next farm, you can just imagine how much junk has been pumped into that soil. So these people are about, you know, growing healthy food, and healthy food makes healthy bodies, and healthy bodies make healthy minds. And that's what we're missing here. People are weak in their spine, their minds, and their spirits. So it'll be good. There's a lady going to be on the show from Russia. I believe she's a teacher, maybe down in the Toronto area now, but she is Russian. And there's another lady who is, I would imagine, in her late 80s, who is, you know, going to keep working at this till her last breath, who lived through the Depression and that. Who's going to be part of this group on Thursday night. So it should be interesting. And we'll see how it goes, because an hour goes pretty quick. So we may just take the following Sunday and either bring some other people in who are members of these farms and discuss a little deeper. And maybe I can even get Michael in here to discuss his upcoming injunction hearing on the 29th and 30th of May. And you know, we got to step up to the plate, folks. You know, we got to just get the noise away from us and bear down on this. It's getting absolutely ludicrous here. You know, we have a gentleman here. Our borders are open. And why aren't they? Why wouldn't they be open? I mean, the Canadian government, or the Corporation of Canada, has teamed up with the United Nations refugee arm and Open Societies, which is George Soros, to help bring immigrants into the country. The immigrants nobody wants. And so if we can't get them through the front door, the back door, the side door, and the windows are wide open. You can come in any way you want. This kind of reminds me of the open southern border of the United States. And it's not healthy, not for our nation. So we have these ridiculous stories that pop up. Now, I know people who have actually been fined for construction guys who have been fined $250 for having a smoke in their work trailer. Absolutely ridiculous. So I'm looking for that story. Where did it get to? Somebody else must have sent it to me. Anyways, there's a story about, let me go see if I can find it. There's a story about a gentleman who, oh, here it is. Now, we have our borders are wide open. We got more ridiculous laws coming at, rules, corporate rules and regulations coming at, you shake a stick at. And here's a guy, he's 76 years old, Harry Kramer, London, Ontario. They keep busting him for smoking. Now, he says he knows damn well that smoking isn't good for him, but it's a 60-year habit he doesn't want to break. So he runs this outfit called Sparkles Cleaning Service. Is a healthy guy. Harry's a healthy guy, apparently, who loves a puff or two when he's alone. Sometimes at home with the windows open in his rec room or in his Porsche SUV, minding his own business and away from others who could breathe in. Oh, my God, the secondhand smoke fumes. Now, as far where I smoke, and, you know, I don't go out of my way to irritate anybody, but, you know, if you're going to ban something or you're going to give tickets for something, I would like to see a ticket issued for people who use dryer sheets. Because as far as I'm concerned, these things stink. And you can't get it out of the clothes once it's in the clothes. So we need a new law to ban dryer sheets, or you can only come within 20 feet of someone if you use dryer sheets. Just no more ridiculous than secondhand smoke. Anyways, what he doesn't like are those he calls the smoke police. The smoke-free Ontario enforcement officers, who he believes have placed a no-smoking sign as a target on his particular back. The provincial anti-smoking laws set out stringent rules banning smoking in enclosed workplaces, enclosed public places, outdoor patios, vehicles where children are passengers, and other spaces to protect people from secondhand smoke. But Kramer scored one for the Marlboro man last week when he had three workplace smoking infractions dismissed at provincial court. Kramer was slapped with the charges last fall for lighting up inside his luxury SUV in the parking lot just after he's bought a donut and a coffee from Tim Hortons. The vehicle's ownership is registered to Sparkles, and the argument was it is a workplace vehicle. Kramer said it is for his personal use only. This is my personal car that I drive from home to work and from work to home, he said. It is in no way involved in the business. The Justice of the Peace said, I haven't heard one shred of evidence that the car was ever used for business for Sparkles. So the judge threw the charges out. To back up a little bit, Kramer has already paid financial penalties for his bad habit and likely ruffled the feathers of the anti-smoking authorities. About a year ago, an enforcement officer came to his business on Wellington Road for a routine check. Like, where the hell are we living? Huh? An enforcement officer comes to his business for a routine check. Kramer said he tended to smoke in his second floor office away from the rest of the business and with the door closed and the window open and the fan blowing. There's no smoke that ever goes down to where any employees are, he said. Kramer said the officer came into his office, opened his desk drawer to discover an ashtray and a butted out cigarette and issued two tickets to Kramer, each carrying a $350 fine. That didn't go over well with Kramer. I was annoyed. Isn't one ticket enough? Kramer had some words with the officer and told him to leave. I verbally told him to get the hell out of my office, and I said some very nasty things, maybe. I don't know. The officer, Kramer, was told, the officer told Kramer, we'll be back. I don't do a very good Arnold, but what the hell. Kramer paid fines last fall. Came the tickets in the Tim Hortons lot for smoking on closed workplace, failing to have a no smoking sign in his SUV, and failing to properly supervise the workplace. The enforcement officer testified he was acting on an anonymous complaint. We've all heard of that before. When he watched Kramer get into his SUV, drive to the donut shop, and through the drive-thru and park. I proceeded to have my coffee, my donut, my cigarette, and he walked up and gave me three tickets. Kramer said. With possible fines, it could run into $1,000. Kramer's took it to court. His defense lawyer, yada, yada, yada. No vacuum, no room. So anyways, this is what's going on. on this side of the border anyways. I don't know what it's like stateside, but this is all about these massive bureaucracies. And all of these things are based on the precautionary principle, which was put together by a Canadian so that you don't need any scientific evidence. Okay, and that's kind of where global warming got us, okay? They have no scientific evidence. They can't come up with any evidence. You can't foretell what's going to be going on in 100 years. That's an impossibility. But they don't need any evidence using the precautionary principle. And that's what they're doing with this. It is all precautionary principle. My friend Kathy Hamilton actually found a document. I don't think she's online tonight. If she was, please put it in so I can get a hold of it. But she actually came up with a document that was a scientific health document that stated that children who are exposed to secondhand smoke when they're young have a far less likely chance of contracting lung cancer later in life. But that's never brought up, which is unfortunate because, well, that messes up their lie. Now, I've been down at the beach and had people, I light up a smoke on the beach, and there's nothing here. There's no walls, there's just sky. And these people ain't even close to me. And they start having a brain tumor, you know, waving their arms. No, you can't, no smoke, no smoke, no smoke. Like a bunch of little scared, stupid children. And that's what they've reduced us to. And we have to grow up here somehow and stand up for what's right. Now, we have another ridiculous thing going on here in Canada. And all of this garbage that's going on can be all traced back to the WHO, the FAO, UNESCO, UNICEF, the WHO, all of this stuff. These are all international rules and regulations being handed down from the globalists into our local communities. And we got to put our foot down. Anyways, here is a really, I read about this probably, I'm going to say probably 5 years ago, because they write everything down. So it's here now. And this is particular story is assault on your rights. Ontario looming and administrative monetary penalty system denies you a day in court. Now, that's basically, they do this in stages. That's where the POA courts came from. It was taking up too much judge time and too much court time. So they made the POA, which is the Provincial Offenses Act, which basically deals with traffic offenses. So now we have people who have no knowledge whatsoever of the legal system or law, but they don't use law, so the legal system. And it states you can't give a legal opinion. It's against the law to give a legal opinion. You see this all the time when people are trying to tell you how things operate. You know, they'll put a disclaimer on it. You know, I'm not a lawyer. This is not legal advice, yada, yada, yada. Because it's against the law to give legal advice if you're not a lawyer. But yet, not one man or woman sitting as a judge or a justice in a POA court is a lawyer. So obviously, no, this ain't a court of law. These are just administrative bureaucracies that people think are courts. They're not courts. So they did that. Now they want to go a step further. And this is too expensive, is too time consuming. So we're not even going to do that. You will be issued a ticket and you will pay the ticket. Now they're going to hire a bunch of people again that don't know anything about the law, the rules, the regulations, the statutes, know nothing about anything. And you'll get a ticket, and then you can go to one of these people and say, you know, I shouldn't have got this ticket, or this ticket's too high. And they have the ability to, you know, drop the cost down a little bit and what mood they're in, I suppose. And these are very low-paying jobs. Okay, it's like a freaking call center or something. And so, you know, your fellow men and women who are desperate for jobs will take these dumbass jobs, and you'll walk in there pissed off, and they'll say, tough luck, I want my day in court. And they said, you can't have your day in court because it's been taken away from you. So anyways, this is basically how the story goes. Bill 68, The Modernizing Ontario's Municipal Legislation Act of 2017 affects you and your family and your future. Remember back in 2015 when people were upset because they weren't going to get their day in court if they received a parking ticket under the administrative monetary penalty system? It's back in Bill 68. But this time it's much worse because Bill 68 covers all bylaws with which you're not in compliance. Legally speaking, the province under this bill is adding sections 4341 and 4342 to the Municipal Act and sections 3741 and 3742 to the City of Toronto Act. The City of Toronto has a new administrative penalty tribunal hearing building under construction, and it's proceeding with the appointments of 25 city residents to serve as public members acting as one-person hearing officers. Some municipal bylaws can have fines of up to $10,000 per day, and if you don't pay them when a notice is received, they will be applied to your property taxes. Think about those implications. What an easy way for municipalities to potentially take a homeowner's land and home for non-payment of property taxes. Now, they're already doing that with the water bills and that. Okay, if you fail to pay, it's a water bill. And this idea that we're paying for water is another thing that's got to stop. But if you, because they metered all the water, because they monetized everything, and it's all coming out of the Rockefeller, more strong globalist bullcrap, because we're the end user, and go get the end user and make them pay because they don't want you using water and they don't want you in a house. You know, the preamble to the 1976 Conference on Human Settlements states specifically what's not sustainable: private property. And this is what they're doing. They want all property. They want you to be a corporate rent slave is what they want. And they're going to do whatever they can to drive you from your homes. And they're not going to do it with a jackboot. They're going to do it with a pen and a piece of paper. And that's exactly what this is about. Here's an example of Bill 68 at work. Your child plays road hockey and the municipality passes a bylaw banning it. You might receive a notice that you are non-compliant with the bylaw. You go to the municipality and say you were not aware of the bylaw. Well, sorry about your luck. You still have to pay. Now, you live on a very quiet street with little or no traffic, and these are just kids, so you want to challenge this fine and the bylaw in court. Sorry, you can't do that because the AMPS disallows you to have a day in court. You're not allowed to challenge the fine, the bylaw, or any other bylaws, as there are no provisions in the amendment for a court challenge. According to Stephen Parker, president of the Ontario Paralegal Association, in an article in Paralegal Scope magazine on AMPS, it denies a person's right to challenge the allegation of what is now an offense. They are promoting this as a cost-cutting initiative for municipalities and nothing to do with a person's right to face their accuser. Parker also says if AMPS system is implemented, it would affect the vast majority of paralegals who represent clients on provincial offense matters. So, you decide you're not going to pay the fine because you feel that without a chance to have your day in court, this simply isn't right. Again, sorry, the government will just add the cost of the fine to your property taxes is a debt to the municipality, and if you don't pay, you can lose your home or property within 2 years for non-payment of property taxes. The bill also specifies a new requirement for green roofs. Now this, I just buzzed through this article. I do recall, I read this a couple of days ago quick, and I forgot about this part, and I didn't really spend much time on it, but this is pretty spooky stuff. It says the bill also specifies a new requirement for, in quotes, green roofs on new construction. essentially vegetation growing on the roof. Think about the costs and the bugs and the other pests this will attract. Think about the snow load in the winter, the weight on these roofs, and the danger it may cause. Should this be mandatory? Is it even constitutional? Some would say no. What about democratic voter rights? They, it would seem, are removed as well. According to the notes of Bill 68, amendments will be made to the Municipal Act concerning how regional municipalities are able to change the composition of their councils. The amendments also require a regional municipality to review the number of its members who represent the lower tier municipalities. Provisions are included to permit cabinet minister to alter the composition of regional councils in certain circumstances. This violates your fundamental rights to be democratically represented. As for the Municipal Conflict Interest Act, the government is making changes to it as well, and many of them are not in favor of voters. There are a few of the things that are wrong with Bill 68. It needs to be defeated at Queen's Park. No, Queen's Park needs to be burned to the frickin' ground is what needs to be done. It's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's over the top. It's completely over the top. But, you know, this story in the newspaper, you know, it really doesn't point out a lot of stuff, you know, violates your fundamental right to be democratically represented. Well, you're not represented. It's impossible to represent a man or a woman in the legal system. No man or woman has ever voted in the legal system because you're an agent of the account, which means you're chargeable and liable. But you never vote. You can't vote because the legal system doesn't recognize a living man or woman. It's that simple. They created the entity, the corporate entity, and then without any disclosure at all, they made you the agent or the chargeable. Well, you're not chargeable. It's chargeable. But they made you the agent of it. And therefore, obviously, the entity they created can't pay a fine. It can't play road hockey either. So, you know, they tied two opposites together and made them indivisible. And that's causing all kinds of problems. But I mean, I can just see the builders now, and I mean, I built a lot of houses, and I can just see the builders now. Like we have strict restrictions up here on snow loads, right? And so we built fairly beefy roofs, and now you're going to grow vegetation on it, which soaks up water, which adds a lot of weight, including the dirt. And then you add the snow load on top of that, which is going to, oh, I don't know, drive the cost of a house up even more than it is already. It's becoming completely unattainable for most people. And it just makes me want to throw up, really. So, you know, that smoking law, we have nobody. We have the RCMP, which is the Queen's police force, helping the illegals across the border. So they're not stopping illegals, but this guy from Sparkle's cleaning service is getting, when you got people walking into your freaking office, your office, and looking through your drawers for a cigarette butt, we got a problem. Now, this is the same government for decades and decades and decades and decades has went out of their way to destroy, in particular, young men and women's lives over that dangerous marijuana product. And now, all of a sudden, the government has a monopoly on weed. Alice in Wonderland looked normal compared to this, but this is Alice in Wonderland. And it's exactly what it is. You see, the problem is too many people, well, all the people grew up in this slowly changing system of tyranny and really didn't notice what was going on. And I love that story, Alice in Wonderland. I never really paid much attention to these things. And then when I look at them now, I go, damn, somebody was trying to tell us something. Because you see, the people or the characters, and there were some strange characters in that story, but the characters in that story were born into that system, just like we are born into this system. So when we try to explain the system to the people who were born into it, they have a difficult time wrapping their brain around what we're saying. Where Alice went down the rabbit hole, and she had nothing to do with the system. So as she talked to these characters, and they were, you know, oddballs and fun and this and that and the other thing, but they were all fearful. That's the one thing that came out of it. They're all fearful. They'd be having a good old time. Oh, my God, there's the authorities. Shh, put that out, put that away. And I was going, what are you doing? Because it was foreign to her. It was normal to them, foreign to her. Like somebody walking into your office and searching through your doors for a cigarette butt is not, by any stretch of the imagination, could ever be classified as normal. Yet we put up with it because the system just keeps crawling on us. So Alice, she goes down there and she goes, okay, she's looking around because she can see. And she goes through this story trying to figure out what the hell these people are all afraid of. Well, afraid of the Red Queen. Well, who's the Red Queen? Well, she has the force. Oh, you mean like color of law, color and force of law? So finally, Alice gets to the court. She's going to witness. And we have that law here in Ontario for sure, because we've heard the judge say it in the courtroom, that if we get them cornered, they can ignore all the rules and make a new rule right on the spot. And in Alice in Wonderland, Alice is going to give witness. They don't want her talking. She starts to grow quickly, and they make a new law on the spot. She can't witness or testify because she's growing too fast. New law. And all the characters there are all scared for Alice. You know, she's going to get whacked because she's standing up to the system, of what she sees clearly. But those who grew up in it don't see what she sees. And then finally, she says, you know, I don't worry about you. You know, you're just a bunch of playing cards. In other words, you're fictional. Your authority's fictional. Your force is fictional. The whole damn thing's fictional. So it's a very good depiction of the system that we live under. And that system's upside down, and that's why we got to rock the boat. We got to right the damn ship. Simple as that. I mean, you know, and this is another case of the Sovietization of America, be it North America or America or whatever. I mean, it was very plainly said in the Norman Dodds interview that the guy from the Ford Foundation said, you know, what are you up to? Well, we're supposed to find out what you guys are up to. All these tax-exempt foundations. Simple. We're tasked with Sovietizing America. And this is exactly what this is. And what is the Sovietization? It is the building of these bureaucracies, which are run and controlled by non-elected bodies. And that very same thing we were warned about in the 1929 book, The New Despotism. And he was warning, and it's kind of current, really, because he was warning in that book, that Chief Justice was warning in that book in 1929 about France. What was going on in France? About the growth of this bureaucracy, which was bleeding itself into the British Isles, and he said it's already started happening in Canada. So now we see France, which I'm sure if we did a little bit of digging around, would have been a major player in the beginning of the European Union. So now people say France is lost. I see this constantly now. Well, there goes France. You know, what were they thinking? They're gone. They're done. Now, no sane person would be saying that. So you figure it's, you know, the leftist revolutionaries, if you will, that are just keep putting that out, this negative connotation that, well, there's nothing we can do now. It's over. You know, what we need to do is what we really should think about doing is just say, fine. You know, if Germany wants the Muslims to run the place, so be it. If France wants the Muslims to run the place, so be it. If England wants the Muslims to run England, so be it. And we should be putting an open invitation to all white families that want to get the hell out of there to get their asses over here so we can make a stand. Remember, North America was the light, the hope for freedom. And there ain't nowhere else to go, folks. This is it. So if those people in those European countries that are of our bloodline can't put a stop to what's already happened in their countries, well, it's just really, truly starting here. Then get your asses over here. We got a stand to make. And I don't want wussy people over here, the people that fought to try to hold us back is the people we're looking for. We're looking for people with strong spirits, mind, and spines. Because we can beat this back. We must beat this back. And the negativity out there is I figure it's all constructed negativity. But what people really got to sharpen up. And then we can get back to law. No harm, there's no victim. No harm, no victim, no crime. It can't get much easier than that. You know, we got to quit being deceived. You know, I love that. Let no man judge ye. What's going on in our courts? Everybody's being judged by a judge. Okay, and you can't do that in law. So you know it's not law. If there's no jury and there's no victim, then you're not anywhere near a court of law. You know, I've said this before. I mean, this is just like Carlin says, this is a big club. You and I aren't in the big club. Well, that's incorrect. We are in the big club. Right? We are in the big club. We didn't join the big club. We don't benefit from the big club. But it's the same thing as, you know, probably people listening. I know we used to do when we were kids. We'd start a club. Just kind of like the founding fathers started a club. You know, this is what we're giving you. We wrote this stuff down. It's no different than a club. You know, me and my buddies get together and say, want to start a club? Sure, let's start a club. What do we call it? I don't know. Call it Canada. Call it USA. Call it America. Call it whatever the hell you want to call it. We'll make a club. So we decide on the name of the club, and then, well, we're going to need some rules and regulations for this club. So we write down our rules and regulations, and then we tell people we have a club. Well, can I join your club? I mean, this is what happened when we were kids. Yeah, but there's an initiation process, and some of our initiations are a little rude, like jump off that roof over there, and or do this or do that. But so you join our club. So these are the rules of the club, the rules and the regulations of the club. And you take an oath to uphold those rules and regulations of the club. Kind of sounds like the legal system. The difference between the clubs we made when we were children and the big club that we find ourselves in today is that the clubs we made up as children, those who joined or were invited to join and agreed to the rules of the club and took an oath to the club, that's who the club was. Now, we didn't go to other kids on the street and say, you broke rule 271. And the kid would go, what are you talking about? This is the club rules. But I'm not in your club. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Well, nobody invited me and I didn't ask to join. Not the point. We made our club all-encompassing. So everyone's a member of our club, and you, by being a member of our club, are bound by our rules and regulations. Now, even a 12-year-old kid would say, what are you, stupid? But here we are as adults in this club, this legal club that we weren't invited to join. We didn't take an oath to it. But those who created the club and the rules and regulations of the club, who did take an oath to that club, are telling us that we're members of a club. We're bound by the rules and regulations of the club, even though nobody even asked us if we were interested in joining the club. We didn't go to them and say, hey, can I join your club? No. They just blanketed the whole thing, and now you're a member of the club, and you will follow the rules and regulations of the club, regardless of how retarded the rules and regulations we make, or how demeaning they are, or how injurious they are. You ain't got no say in it because, well, you're a member of the club. And that's what we got. And it don't work. And it's fraud. It's absolute fraud, because without disclosure, you can't agree. You can't be subservient to another man unless you agree to be subservient to another man. And that would be the man that made up the rules of the club, who are telling you you're subservient to these rules and regulations. It can't be done. So they made up fake people and made them all be part of the club, and then they made you the agent of the member. So you're accountable . It's absolutely something right out of Rod Sterling or something. And it's bad. Very, very bad. You know, this smoking thing they got going, these smoking laws, I don't understand these construction guys. Damn it, I spent years in construction and I don't understand it. Why? I always thought construction guys, of all the people out there, were tough. These are worse than little girls now. You know, I got a $250 ticket for having to smoke in my trailer. Huh? You didn't break the guy's nose? Some guy comes into your trailer in the wintertime when you're out of the wind, working outside in the cold. You go in your trailer, you get out of the wind, have a smoke, and some jackass with a pencil comes along and says, ah, gotcha. And you let that guy walk out of there? Well, what are you going to do? Well, try being a man. Right? He didn't give you the ticket. He gave your little fake friend the ticket. You know, the one in the club. Because a man can't be in the legal club. Because the legal club don't even recognize a man. It's impossible. Can't be done. So anyways, now they legalize weed. And remember, it's all about money. So the highwaymen are going to be out there. If they're searching this guy's desk for an ashtray and a cigarette butt, and I know this happens here too, because we went to give a friend a hand to side a building a couple, three winters ago. We went to go get some generators, and when we're at the rental joint, the guy's just freaking out that runs it. They go in the back and where the shop is, where the rental equipment is, where they fix stuff. And they go back in there to have a smoke once in a while. And they actually had, this is right out of Orwell. Actually had customers that came into the shop who then left the shop and reported to the police that they thought they smelt cigarette smoke. And in they come and hand out some tickets. Ludicrous. But so now we're going to legalize weed. Just up the road from me, we have 7 acres of greenhouses, and then you're going to turn into 14 acres of greenhouses to grow weed. And it's all full of high security, and everybody's in white outfits, you know. And I was telling my buddy, went for a tour today to see some people and that. And I was telling him, you know, when I was, I think, 16, maybe somewhere in there, you know, right after we moved here, maybe 17, we had somebody had grown 7 acres of weed on the way to the greenhouses that are up there now, just outside of town. And they had helicopters and fire trucks and more cops than you could shake a stick at. And so back then it was burn the 7 acres down, chew it up, get rid of it, find out who it is, throw them in jail for 20 years. And so now, fast forward to 2017, so that would have been 1970, 71, 7 acres of weed. Oh, my God, went the media. And fast forward to 2017, and the municipality is a proud sponsor of the 7-acre greenhouse weed plant, and it offers jobs, community jobs. It'll be wonderful. This is how ass backwards things are. But they're going to make a fortune, because if you can't have a smoke, that means you can't smoke a joint. So it's all about cash, right? Because corporations are only involved in one thing. What is that? Cash. Show me the money. How are we going to get the money out of these people? Because we don't do anything, that we produce anything, so we only can take from the producers. That would be you and I. And we have to find new ways to take from the producers. We have to think up new ways to take what they have until they have nothing. And until they're under the global international corporate boot. Now you say, well, I thought it was communism. They're the same thing. The same damn thing. A very small group of people who have total and complete control over the assets and the people of a country. Same thing. No damn difference. So, you know, I get people complaining about communism. I get people complaining about corporatism. Let's stop complaining about this and just simply agree that we have some huge problems that need to get dealt with. I don't know what it takes to activate the blood that is in our veins that made our forefathers as strong as they were. But we need to activate that. And we need to take back what is ours. And we need to take this legal system and kick it until it don't move no more. And we have to get back to law. Because only through law can you have freedom. And only through law can you have peace. You will never have peace or freedom in the legal system. Now, people say, well, in the legal system way back when, it wasn't this bad. Of course not. It's once they get the foot in the door, okay, they go easy. Oh, thank you very much. Very nice. And then they sit down and we'll say, what else? How else can we scam these people, these stupid asses? How else can we scam them? And they're writing this stuff constantly. And it's international. And so what they write at the international level comes down to our level, which the guy at the Ford Foundation said our job is to Sovietize the West. Now, I get a lot of people talking. I had this guy on Facebook that put this thing, and I'm forgetting what it was, but he commented on it. He says, Canada's dead, you know? You Canadians are wusses, right? We down here in America, we act quickly. Really? What are you, drunk? Blind? Stupid? Let me see. You had Obama for 8 years. You've got the Trilateral Commission, Foreign Relations, head office of the United Nations on your land. And you telling me you act quickly? So once I laid that shit on him, he shut up. Finally. This is not about blaming each other, folks. This is not about calling each other down or out or anything else. We in North America, we are North Americans, be it you stateside or up here. We're all brothers and sisters because we came from the same stock. And we need to act together to push this legal evil off our shores. Drown it. Take it out offshore and drown the damn thing. Take the legal system, put it in a sack, and chuck it in the ocean. Drown it. You know, I mean, I've read stories back when the forefathers were first coming to North America, and lawyers would slip into town and be run out. Like whack-a-mole, man. They just keep coming at you. But we can't continue. We won't have a future. You know, when I think of the kids and those not even born yet who are going to grow up living in these tiny little cubicles called apartments. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that if somebody said, you know, I just bought a condo in Vancouver or Toronto or Calgary or somewhere. Great for you. How big is it? 265 square feet. What? What's 265 square feet? The living room? No, my condo. But it's really good because I'm right beside a light rail transit system. No, I don't have a car. They're not sustainable. Didn't you know that? That's why I have an apartment. Why don't you go buy a place? Well, because private property is not sustainable. And people think they buy a condo, they bought private property. You didn't buy private property. You're paying condo fees to a corporation. So you're leasing a place from the corporation, only they con you into believing you're buying the damn thing. They're charging $185,000 plus condo fees for a 265 square foot box. We live in the second biggest landmass country in the world, 34 million people in it, which is less than the state of California. And we got people buying 265 square foot condominiums. And you'll hear, oh, it's sustainable. And it's close to work. You know, why don't you just go rent yourself a bus locker and stay in there? And we've got to spread our wings a little bit. But the cities are pretty much basket cases now. So what we need to do is put our foot down countryside, out in the country, out in the rural areas. That's where this fight's really going to be won or lost, not in the cities. Cities are already basket cases. We need to put our line in the sand, so to speak, out here in the rural areas, and push this back. But yeah, we don't need to. You know, they're talking about displaced persons. You know, the 65 million displaced persons or whatever in the Middle East and that. Well, wait a minute. The people of England have been displaced. The people in France have been displaced. The people in Germany have been displaced. The people in Greece have been displaced. In Spain have been displaced. And Italy have been displaced. And these are our European brothers and sisters. So we're going to bring displaced people. We need to redefine our own people who live in Europe and make them the refugees and get them the hell out of here and get them over here where we can make a stand. Anyways, Thursday night, I'm going to have some fun people on here. I can't wait to talk to this lady. Like, I think she's in her late 80s, and the Russian woman, and probably Paul, and possibly Kathy Noble, who run a farm that these other two women get their food from. You know, if you don't have good food, you ain't got much of a future, because what goes in has an effect, and if we just keep pumping junk in, then we're just harming ourselves. Then we ought to stop harming ourselves and get some good food into us so that we're strong enough to stand and protect what our forefathers built for us. Anyways, I think that's about the end of the show. Everybody have a great night, and we'll be back here Thursday night with the rest of them. Take care, everybody. And remember, rock the boat, take no prisoners, and do not walk around in fear.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people.
Take care, we're out of here.
Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn.